Hello, I'm Harry Bucknell. Thank you for downloading this special Armed Forces Day edition of General Talk from ABF, the Soldiers Charity. We open with Voice of the Guns. There is a word you often see. Said as you may, you bike qui, you be qua, alluding to RA. It serves all's field and garrison as motto for a crest, and when you find out all it means, I'll tell you half the rest. The opening verse of Rudyard Kipling's 1983 poem, Obique, based on Obiqueco, Farse, Gloria Ducant, everywhere that right and glory lead, the famed motto of the Royal Regiment of Artillery, whose King's Troop, part of the Royal Horse Artillery, invited General Talk to King George VI's Lions in Woolwich as ABF the Soldiers' Charity Mark Armed Forces Day on Saturday, the 24th of June. I began by talking to Lieutenant Rebecca B about the state-of-the-art facilities that house the much-loved Ceremonial Artillery Unit, founded by the King's grandfather, George VI.
They have everything they would need for the equine needs. We've got our own veterinary clinic, our own farrier, so a forge that can attend to the feet. Each subsection has a number of box beds as well for the horses. They each have their own tap room, their own feed room, so that the specific horses are all isolated and have everything they need exactly right next to them.
And here we are. Who's this here?
This is Peggy.
Peggy. Hello, Peggy. How are you?
Who is a troop favourite. Peggy is actually due to retire shortly.
So how old is Peggy? Beautiful hog mane here. She's a black, isn't she, with a nice white star.
She's a really good girl, coming to the end of her career and looking for a lovely family for her to be home to.
So we're now in the horse lines, the Gunner Harry Holt. So Harry, how long have you been in the army for?
So I've been in the army for 4 years now, Kingship Royal Horse Artillery for 3.
So how old are you now, if I'm not mistaken?
I'm 20 now.
20 years old. And so you joined to become a gunner. Did you ever think you were going to end up in the King's Troop?
Yeah, it's always something I've always wanted to do from the day I joined the army. I was riding since I was 7 years old.
So where's your horse?
If you follow me, we'll go down here. So this is my graphite. I backed a rope in Melton last year.
You broke him yourself?
Breaking myself.
So he knows you intimately inside out?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Hello, Graphite, how are you? And so what? Tell me about Graphite. How old is he? Where's he come from?
So he's 5 years old now. He came over from Ireland with the others that come over.
So he is a, he's a black, is he?
Yeah.
Certainly a bay with a nice white star again.
Yeah. But yeah, he's got really good temperament. He's really good. He's been really advanced on his training. He's really picked up things quite quickly. So
for a young guy like you to break a horse age then 19, thank you, Graphite. Yeah. Don't eat the bike train. How was it? I mean, what was the challenge breaking him in?
He was a challenge. Yeah, he was quite naughty at the beginning. He was very scared, very unsure about things. It took him a while to trust people. And you had to really gain his trust, for him obviously to trust you. But we got through a lot, and then he came out on the other end really good. So
how old is he now?
He's 5 now. Yeah. He was 4 years old when I backed him.
You ride him out what, twice a day?
No, he gets. I don't always ride him. Everyone rides him. It's not just me specifically. I'll ride him at least once a week or so.
Aaron, when you're in the gun team, what's his position in the gun team?
He's centre, so he's a centre horse. He probably will develop into lead or into wheel. We're not too sure yet, as it's quite early stages for him. So yeah, he's good at his job in centre, really good. Like I say, he picked up that training really quickly, and he's quite an advanced horse for his age.
Does he jump well?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He's actually quite brave. I'm taking him away for a week to Royal Tournament in Malton Mowbray, which is a week show jumping, so that'll be good for him. So.
And he's good with crowds.
Yeah, he can be a bit spooky sometimes. He's a bit unsure, but if you give him that reassurance, he's perfectly fine. So.
And how many times has he thrown you off?
I've never fallen off him, actually. Never. That's even from backing and braking him. I've never fallen off him.
So comes for a fall, eh?
Yeah.
Great. Now, Harry, let's go back to the tack room, to the harness room. Okay. See some of the kit you have to clean, prepare the horses for. You ride the horses out every day. What time of day do you ride out?
Half eight will be our first ride, so that's true pack. So that's where you're riding a horse and leading. You've got two in hand, so that's three horses you've got control.
And how far do you take them when you're out on a ride?
So it's around an hour and a half we're out for, so we've covered quite a few bit of distance during that time.
Okay, so here we are, we're now in the harness room. Of all the kit and equipment you've got, what's the hardest bit of kit that you have in terms of your saddlery that you have to clean before you go out on parade to do a gun salute?
Probably the most work goes into our harness because it's the thing that gets more strenuous the most. So it gets pulled under a lot of stress, a lot of strain. So it has to be checked through thoroughly. And it has to be cleaned, and the metalwork has to be shiny as well. So it's probably the hardest.
And how are you cleaning it mostly with?
Obviously, to get the sweat off, we'll clean it with blue rag and water and some saddle soap to get that sweat off and the grime. And then we'll use brown polish to polish all the leather work. And then once that's done, we'll do something called rifting. So that's where we have a rifting belt on a hook, and you hook it to the metalwork and then to the wall, and then you get a piece of rifter, we call it. It's like a piece of fabric, a strip, and then you'll wrap it around the metalwork and then pull it really fast to get it shiny, so the friction makes the metalwork shiny. And obviously we use metal polish to help that.
An old gun trick, is it?
I think it's just traditions, what's happened years and years ago, and it's just obviously came all the way through.
It's a proven tradition, it works.
Yeah, definitely.
You've been in the army for 4 years now. You hope you're going to become a lance one, but yeah, so how long do you want to stay in the army for?
Well, I'm hoping to do my full time. I really enjoy it. Because it's with the horse and stuff, I enjoy it that much. Sometimes it doesn't seem to be a job to me, it's just something I like doing. So.
Sometimes it doesn't seem to be a job to me. 20-year-old Gunner Harry Holt's words capture the essence of life in the armed forces. Major Franz Sykes, commanding officer of the King's Troop for the last 2 years.
What has been the highlight of your time as commanding officer of the King's Troop?
I think ceremonially, two things stick out in my mind, for very different reasons, actually. The first one was the Platinum Jubilee, so the actual Troop in the Colour that was done to kickstart that whole long extended Jubilee weekend, and I distinctly remember that being my first full parade. Clearly we'd done the reviews beforehand, but that was my first full parade. I remember that very distinctly, and I think the snapshot in my mind is riding down the Mall with both sides absolutely crowded, lots of flags, and I remember that's probably the occasion where I think the crowds were most vocal. There was lots of shouting and cheering. My trumpeter gave the call to trot, and there was a big cheer that erupted all the way and then rippled all the way down the Mall, which was brilliant. And then as we reached the top of Constitution Hill, so we were due to fire a royal salute in Hyde Park immediately after we'd gone down the Mall and done the procession. And there were so many people that had come to see that spectacle on that particular day. They'd all sort of congregated around Hyde Park Corner and completely overrun it. So the estimate was 300,000 people in vicinity of that area of Hyde Park. And I remember emerging from Constitution Hill with police escort, and there was not a single piece of ground visible. People were on monuments, fences, grass, pavements, roads, everywhere. As far as the eye could see, you just see a sea of people. And I remember the police managing to clear quite literally a channel wide enough to fit a gun team through, and the crowds pressing us on all sides, and the horses were just immaculately behaved. And it was just such a wonderful sense of jubilation. And the second thing that I remember, which is in a complete contrast really, was... on the 9th of September when we rode out of Wellington Barracks, having worked through the night to fire the death gun salute to mark Queen Elizabeth II's passing. And I can remember it was really busy around the Queen Victoria Memorial and Hyde Park. It was a dark, drizzly day. Lots of people had umbrellas. And I can remember riding my charger round past Buckingham Palace and his sort of reaction of surprise every time somebody dropped their umbrella on the floor to lift their iPhone to take a picture. And it was in many ways very busy, as it had been in the June, but it was such a different atmosphere. It was really somber and quiet and eerie. And I wouldn't describe myself as an overly emotional person, but I can remember passing the palace and sort of realising the enormity of what we were riding out to do, and it hitting me and sort of having to work quite hard to keep a solemn expression on my face and not sort of let become overcome with emotion, I think.
Saturday the 6th of May 2023, the King's Troop firing a gun salute on Horse Guards Parade, marking the moment of the monarch's crowning at the coronation of Charles III. The Sovereign's connection with the King's Troop is evident from the name alone. You talk about the jubilation of the Platinum Jubilee, the somberness of the Queen Elizabeth's death, and then of course you've had the coronation. What was that like to be part of?
There was no real set format, and we were tasked with designing a new gun position. So we've fired on Horse Guards Parade before. We fire every year on Remember on Sunday, the National Silence, but that's only ever with one or two guns. So we had to design the position for all six guns. We had to factor in what the processions would look like, how we would work with other elements, because it was a slightly different order of march to what we'd done previously. So there was a lot of sort of build up to it being a really big day. And I'm very conscious that for our unit, we're fortunate to be out doing state ceremonial and public duties very regularly. And it's almost business as usual for us. It still takes a lot of preparation, but we're relatively comfortable. But of course, what really stood out for that coronation was everybody from all three services and the wider across the public sector, and then our veterans network all coming out and coming together to deliver something truly unique. And just to be a part of that was really special.
One of the things about state ceremonial is it's a pretty passive affair, except for when it comes to firing guns. You've got six guns firing on Horse Guards Parade. The Major General's office overlooks Horse Guards Parade. How do you make sure he doesn't lose any windows in the process?
So we've got multiple different charges that we can fire from our 13-pounder guns. They range from 2 ounce up to a pound charge, so 16 ounce. There was a lot of gunnery, wizardry and maths that was going on in the background. My regimental sergeant major put his old instructor gunnery hat on, and he was out walking the ground and doing all sorts of calculations and range traces. We worked out that we could effectively compromise, that we could fire what we call a half charge, so an 8 ounce charge, which is what we fire in the Green Park. We could fire that from Horse Guards Parade, and there was still enough of a safety distance in front that crowds could be in St James's Park to see. If we'd have fired the full charge, we'd have probably had to clear St James's Park as quite a long distance in front. Did really, really well on the day.
But bringing the guns into action on Horse Guards, we've got gravel, in some cases quite deep gravel. It's very different from say, the grass of St James's Park or Green Park. How do you offset to make sure that the guns didn't move while too much in firing?
So when the guns fire, with the charges that we use, there's not actually that much of a recoil on the gun. It's a very well-designed system. It's very simple, which is why it still works over 100 years later. It's a great system. It works really well. And actually, they dig in just as well on gravel as they do in grass. So that's not something we need to worry about. If we'd have maybe been firing multiple rounds from guns, we'd have been a bit more concerned, but because it was just one round per gun, it's not a problem. Like I say, we do that quite regularly. when we get the opportunity to fire up at the old parade ground, Hyde Park, up by Speaker's Corner, that is quite a large gun position, and that gives us the opportunity to show off a bit and to show really what it would have looked like during World War One when those pieces were being used as part of a battle sequence up close with the infantry and firing. And that's when you'll see them galloping at full pace all the way down the park and then slamming the brakes on to bring those guns into action. And it's what we call quickest and best. So that's probably the most impressive way that we bring the guns in and out of action. And then the third type, very much as you saw for the coronation, is more of a bespoke activity for a special occasion. And that would normally be us walking onto position, normally because of the types that are selected.
Now, the guns. Do I detect, Fran, there's a degree of slight competition between the various elements of the British Army that fire royal salutes?
There is. I would always say that ours are the best. It's great when you've got the other elements of the Royal Artillery that are firing. The light gun is used in the ceremonial role for all the other stations. We've got the pleasure of our 13-pounder guns. Our 13-pounders all date back to the 1900s. They all saw active service in role during the First World War. In fact, one of them actually fired the first round at the Battle of the Somme. And then during the Second World War, they were actually repurposed and used as anti-aircraft guns. So they've seen active service in both periods before the King Street being formed up in 1946 and then named in 1947. So they're all the original guns. They're antiques, and you'll note that unlike the infantry and the cavalry, the Royal Artillery doesn't have standards as its colours. It has its guns, and they are our colours. And I would argue that we are, in the King Street, the custodians of the Royal Regiment's colours. I would argue that they're the oldest guns still in service, and they're the originals, and therefore they are the colour, if you like, of the Royal Regiment.
If I'm correct, you run to the guns and you march away from them, isn't that right?
That's generally what we do, yeah.
Mm. Your background is in AS-90 and mechanised armoured warfare with howitzers, self-propelled guns. How do you find the modern warfare to the ancient warfare of the British Ordnance quick-fire 13-pound gun?
It's a lot more simple with a 13-pounder. It's a very, very well-designed piece of equipment. It's got some wonderful features on it, and actually it's things like the entire gun and limber. If you were to hit sort of an obstacle or a road bump or something at pace and it caused the gun to flip, that it's designed in such a way that it can flip 180 degrees and still be driven upside down. It's a phenomenally well designed piece of equipment, and its simplicity is what enables us to maintain it and keep it in working order hundreds of years later. The AS-90, a great piece of equipment that's now out of service, but it's armoured, and therefore it's got its complexities. It's fiendishly difficult to keep on the road and in service order, and that's just the track. That's not the gun mechanism itself. Both equally enjoyable, but challenging in different parts, I would argue.
The trumpet call of the King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery.
But you also have your problems, because you need the wheel for wheelwrights, you need to have armourers, you need to have farriers, you need to have vets. How does that all come together? Tell me about finding your horses and keeping your guns and your limbers in a serviceable state.
It's quite a task, and it's one that's a 365-day commitment each year. And you might see the guns on parade, and you'll see a number of people and horses on parade, but there are equally as many behind the scenes acting in a whole range of roles. Every time we put a horse in harness and strap a gun to them, whether it's one gun or six, we have to have the same safety wrap around them, and you've picked up on it. So that safety wrap includes, we have our own combat med techs who are familiar and trained in dealing with the types of incidents that may happen when you're driving horses in harness. We have our own sort of issues and things that tend to go wrong, so they're trained to deal with those, and they're always there, so they can react really quickly. We've got our own veterinary officer, our own veterinary technician. They have to be with us at all times. And I think I'm correct in saying that the veterinary officer of both the King's Troop and the Household Cavalry are probably the only two people, bar Deputy Commander or the GOC, that has the power to stop a parade. If they say the horses are not going on parade because of the conditions, the horses are not going on parade.
The King's Troop is not only a ceremonial troop in many cases, it is a showcase for the modern army today, because over 40% of your personnel are female. You must be proud about the great achievement of that.
I would describe the King's Troop as probably the most diverse organisation, certainly in the British Army. We're actually currently, changes on a weekly basis, but we're currently at 52% female. Many of whom are in leadership roles, which is fabulous. I'm female, my adjutant is, my second in command is. I've got a female section commander. My equitation instructor, who's the sort of the primus inter pares warrant officer class 2 in the regiment, she's also female at the moment. My master tailor's female. So there's lots of role models for the younger gunners to look up to. We've also got, I think at the last count, about 13 different nationalities represented, and at about 20 different faiths and denominations represented as well. So not just focusing on sort of gender balance, really, but focusing on a whole range of things that makes us a really diverse organisation and hopefully, therefore, reflective of society. So as much as we are here to protect or sort of be the custodians of some of the army's heritage, we're also here, I think, to provide sort of an engagement function with wider society, and hopefully an accessible engagement function with wider society.
Recruits able to join the King's Troop direct, or do they all have to go through gunner training as normal?
So all of our people are trained officers and soldiers within the British Army first and foremost. They'll go through all of the standard basic training and initial trade training routes. So they'll, when they've finished at Purbright, Harrogate, Winchester, they will move to Lock Hill. They'll do the standard initial trade training that everybody in the Royal Regiment of Artillery does. At the moment, they're actually also doing artillery logistics courses, so they've got a second trade whilst they're at Lock Hill, and then they join the King's Troop. When they join the King's Troop, we'll put them through, there's two different riding courses they have to do. There's quite a high failure rate for that, and that's possibly due to the fact about 40% of the soldiers that join the unit have never ridden or seen a horse before.
Bonnie Dundee, the Gallop of the Royal Horse Artillery, opening a musical drive of the King's Troop at the Royal Norfolk Show in 2017. You're listening to General Talk with me, Harry Bucknell, as we showcase the King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery for Armed Forces Day 2023.
Tell me about the musical drive, which is quite something to see, to behold. Presumably that takes place mostly at the Royal Windsor Horse Show, is it?
The musical drive is actually very old. It predates the King's Troop. It's actually from about the 1800s, I think the records were, for the first one that was performed. It's based on a series of battlefield manoeuvres that horse-driven artillery would have done to either bring the guns into or out of action, or to conduct evasive manoeuvres, or to cross difficult terrain. And so there's different elements of the drive, and they're all based on that.
The most frightening element is the scissors.
Ironically, I think leading the scissors is probably less frightening than being second, third or fourth, because if something's gone wrong in front of you, there's not a lot you can do about it. It takes a lot of practice and a good eye from the drivers, and a lot of trust, not just from the lead driver, but from all three working together as a team, and then that team of three drivers working with the other teams on the different guns. So it's all about spatial awareness, judgment, pace, bravery. It takes some guts to go for it. And you need to commit, and you need to go at a good pace to get through those scissors without having an incident. And you'll see they can get very, very close.
You, in 6 weeks' time, go back to the regular army, the real world, to be Deputy Chief of Staff, Southeastern District. Looking back on your time at the King's Troop, what are your thoughts?
I think I'm really proud of what the King's Troop's achieved over the last couple of years. It's been, I would say, sort of the last 18 to 24 months has been a historic period for the country, linked to the royal family, realistically. I can think of many great occasions of state we've had during that period, and the King's Troop has been front and centre at all of them. It's been quite extraordinary. So I'm very proud of what we've achieved, I think. But my snapshots and my memories will be silly jokes that we've had, or difficult timelines we've had to meet, or tasks we've had. There'll be the music going up full blast in the harness room at Windsor after we've done the musical drive, and everybody from the CA and the RSM down is in the harness room cleaning an inordinate amount of tack and equipment to turn it around and get ready to go the next day. It will be silly moments of falling off horses and jokes shared, and yeah, a lot of fun, a lot of laughter, and a lot of hard work.
From this coming Friday, as for the next few weeks, you're taking over the House of Cavalry, mounting the King's Lifeguard at Horse Guards. Will you be doing that with the guns too, or just with the horses?
Well, that's a tricky question. Normally, for the King's Lifeguard, it's just the horses and our people. This year, we've also got the Military Musical Spectacular on Horse Guards Parade thrown into the mix. So we've promised the Household Division bands that we'll turn up with some people, some horses and some guns, and cause a bit of chaos, I think. I think they're quite looking forward to it. So we will have guns there, but not for the King's Lifeguard. And it'll be very much normal duties and paying the respects that we should.
And, of course, the 4 o'clock inspection is a long way to ride from Woolwich.
Well, fortunately, whenever we do anything in central London, we what we call forward mount. So on this occasion for the King's Lifeguard, we're actually only going to be based in Wellington Barracks. So it's a very short ride for the 4 o'clock officer. They'll be relieved to know.
Great stuff. This weekend is Armed Forces Day. What is your message for Armed Forces Day from the King's Troop?
It's a unique privilege to serve in the British Army and the wider forces. I think it's such a unique privilege, and it's a real opportunity this week for the general public to see, you know, different aspects of the armed forces. I think the King's Troop hopefully shows how accessible and diverse the roles within the armed forces are, and that it's ultimately a reflection of greater society. Any support that we receive from the general public in the armed forces is always appreciated. Whether that's a friendly message on social media, or whether it's people turning up on the Mall when it's drizzling with rain and still with a big grin on their face and waving their flag. Anything we get in terms of support is always appreciated.
77 years on, as King George VI wished, still doing a great job. Fran Sykes, Major Fran Sykes, Commander of the King's Troop, thanks for being my guest on General Talk.
Thank you very much.
All too often for those who serve or have served, Gunnar Holt's words that it doesn't seem to be a job ring more than true. At the heart of life in the armed forces lies a commitment to diversity, equality, integrity, discipline and hard work. Today, war rages in Europe, and while you enjoy a picnic in the park, the Saturday morning shop or a walk with a dog, remember that it is the presence of our armed forces and the brave men and women who so selflessly volunteer to serve their country that enable you to do so. Please show them all your support on Armed Forces Day this Saturday. ABF continues to safeguard our soldiers, veterans and their immediate families so they can live a life of independence and dignity for the service they give and have given for our freedom and liberty. It is the debt we owe them yesterday, today and tomorrow. On behalf of Major General Tim Hyams and everyone at ABF, the Soldiers' Charity, whether in the Royal Navy, the Army or the Royal Air Force, we thank you for your service. And my thanks to Gunner Harry Holt, Lieutenant Rebecca B, Major Fran Sykes, Susie Coulthard and the staff at Headquarters London District who helped in the making of this programme. If you'd like to learn more about the work of ABF the Soldiers Charity, the national charity of the British Army, please visit soldierscharity.org. And for me, Harry Bucknell, Thank you for listening, and until next time, farewell. With studio editing by Michael Stigliano, this has been a GameCube production for ABF, the Soldiers Charity.
For newcomers, she's got it all well taped.